Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond Podcasting for Dummies. With your host, T. Morris.
Welcome to the second episode of Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. I am T. Morris. As Chuck Tomasi said, some of these episodes are going to be featuring me. Some of these features are going to, the episodes are going to be featuring Chuck. But on this particular episode, I have a very special guest, and I'll explain why I'm featuring her in just a moment. Mystery guest, feel free to sign in.
Hi, I'm Philippa Ballantyne, but you can call me Pip.
There we go. That's better. And the reason why you're here is because...
Well, because you're the reason I got into podcasting and I married you, so...
And today is...
Our anniversary.
Our sixth anniversary.
So what do a podcasting couple do? They go podcast.
That's what a sixth anniversary is.
It's a podcast.
It's a podcast anniversary.
So we're out in...
We're out in Old Town Manassas right now, and we are at Ground Central.
Which is a great little cafe.
Terrific cafe. Nice little cafe, like right in the heart of Old Town Manassas, right next to the Man Cave, and you can find them on Facebook. Just look up Ground Central, Manassas, Virginia. They'll pop right up. That's not why we're here, though. So the first episode was all about podcasting in the raw. Mm-hmm. It was all about what a podcast could sound like on the most basic level. No editing, no post-production, not even a theme. Just here we go, boom, and it's all done. Now, the second episode, we decided to talk about podcasting mobily, mm-hmm. podcasting on the road. And
this definitely counts as the road.
This definitely counts as the road. Also, let's be honest, the way podcasting has changed on a mobile level,
yeah.
is completely different from the way it was 10 years ago.
Definitely.
For one thing, we didn't have the component that I'm currently working with right now, iPad Pro. Mm-hmm. GarageBand did not exist for the iPad. That was something else.
Because iPads didn't exist.
Exactly. And then we have the actual component that we're on right now, which is the Shure MV-51.
And it really looks like an old school microphone that Frank Sinatra might have crooned.
Sinatra
into.
Should be crooning in this. Absolutely.
Yeah, but
or Dino.
But it's got all these little electronic bells and whistles. That
now we ran over some of these features in the book, which the book is out by now, so you can go on ahead, pick it up, and have a listen, or
read
to the podcast. Have a read. That's what I was looking for. That was the word. Thank you. But there are all different settings you have already built into mm-hmm. the microphone. But what's really amazing, I just discovered this as we were playing here and getting our settings right. The input for the microphone can be controlled from the microphone, but it also can be controlled from GarageBand. So as you can see, I can increase the input and the microphone response, but then I can go straight to the microphone itself.
And just scroll it down.
Bring it down.
Take it down.
And the nice thing about it is that it not only works on the microphone, but it also works on the iPad as well.
So it's a nice piece of kit.
Serious plug and play. I absolutely love this microphone. So Shure Microphones, that's Shure. I believe it's Shure.com. Go on ahead and give them a visit. This is, of all the stuff that we've received so far, I want to say this is one of my favorite gizmos.
Well, I like particularly that it's got its own little kickstand, so you don't have to carry anything around. Yeah. It's freestanding. Yeah. And it's just a nice little small piece of kit, what you wouldn't have given to have this sort of quality in your
10 years ago
in your bag. Oh, 10 God. Years ago.
Now, to say that this is the first time we've used this microphone would be a lie, because we've already used this microphone
mm-hmm.
at the Nebulas
in
Pittsburgh, PA, this year. If you go to theshareddesk.com and you scroll back a few months, you'll actually see this show that we recorded live on the spot at...
a book signing.
At a book signing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was... And it was a lot of fun. I mean...
It was a little crazy, actually.
But when you're recording on the road, one of the things you're going to get is you're going to get the sounds of whatever location you're at.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, you've got the openness of Ground Central.
You've got a few refrigerators.
Got a few refrigerators.
Some fans.
And it's fine. And, of course, as you heard earlier, you heard the guy who runs Ground Central do business. And, you know, doors open, and that's just an atmosphere.
I like the ambience of that.
Yeah, you could do it artificially in post, but it's not as fun.
Just don't go to, like, a really packed pub and expect to record a podcast.
Some people do. Some people do pubcasts.
It's just a lot of yelling.
It's hard to focus on just about anything in that. And the other thing that's tricky about doing anything live on location is you want to make sure that you're not disturbing people by shouting into your microphone. Now, granted, if everybody else around you is shouting, then you're basically competing for noise, and that's going to be hard to filter out. Whenever you're podcasting on location, mm-hmm. I think what's important is making sure that the ambient noise is
tolerable.
Is tolerable. That's a great word for it.
So try and find a sort of the quietest spot you can in your environment.
Now, we have the drone of this room, and we have the echo of this room. So the big question was, why didn't we go outside? And mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty...
Well, it's like 80 degrees and 90% humidity out there. Podcast comfortably.
Yes, podcast comfortably. As a matter of fact, I think we're the only people in
we
here
now
right
have
now.
The
yeah, we now have the entire place
weather.
To ourselves, which means we can now boost ourselves a little bit, maybe even boost the volume a little bit for the input, and not worry about disturbing any of the other customers. That was not by choice. It just kind of happened that way. Podcasting mobily, is that a word, mobily?
Yes. Podcasting on the go.
Podcasting on the go is becoming more and more of a thing. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
People who go interesting places, like we go to conventions and book signings and different events, it's nice to capture a little bit of the ambience of the show and the event for people who can't get there, you know?
Like I'm going to have a
like
little
he's
bit
just
of...
about to eat a brownie. I mean...
Well, it's an anniversary brownie, my darling.
Oh, great. So we're both about to eat a brownie.
It's the only way I can get a word in edgewise.
Right.
The trick is not eating at the same time.
That is right. Yes. Right? Do not stuff something in your mouth. That's the advantage of having two people at the microphone, because then you can just, you know, chat in and out.
Very true.
Yeah. Like I'm filling the gap because you're eating. And now, because I'm about to eat my brownie, you need to cover.
That's right. But actually, I'm going to cover with when background noise is too much. So this is a personal story. I was doing a podcast for my day job at the time. And it was a recording of an interview with our EVP. And I was very excited to have it. And the conversation was riveting. The interview was rock solid until the last 10 minutes. I take that back. The last 15 minutes. Because in the last 15 minutes, two guys came in to the break room where they were interviewing. It was at a conference. And they just started talking. And they were talking at full volume. And they were talking so loud about the game that was on the previous night.
Oh, dear.
That... they were drowning out the interviewer and our EVP. Now,
what can you do in that situation?
Nothing.
Though?
You cannot do anything. In fact, I went.
Could
to
you?
My,
could you not? I mean, if the person who was recording it, could
the
they stop?
The person that was recording it could have said, "Gentlemen, I'm doing an interview right now.
Would you mind?
And could you take it down a few decibels because I can't hear you?" Now, the other problem
or
is,
I can hear you.
Or I can hear you. Now, there are sometimes at conferences, which where you see a lot of people recording podcasts remotely, mm-hmm. there are sometimes rooms that are set aside for media, for podcasting, things like that. So I'm not sure what was the deal at this particular event. That being said, I'm still trying to understand why the interviewer didn't say anything. Now, my theory is this. He didn't have headphones plugged in. The
so
beautiful
you,
thing,
so you couldn't know.
Right. Now, the beautiful thing about this model of iPad and the Shure MV-51 is that they both offer jacks for headphones.
Mm-hmm.
And whether
so
you...
So you really should have a set of headphones so you can tell if the ambient noise is being too intrusive.
Yeah, if the ambient noise is too intrusive, then you need to find a different location to record mm-hmm. it.
And but the good thing is, with a podcast, you can stop. move somewhere else if they won't move and find another location that's a little bit better.
You can't fix something like background noise in post.
Yeah, I was just ask you that.
You can't.
Can you not... No, it's unless you record... No, even if you're recording double... No.
This is why when you do audio for other people, whether it's for your show or for someone else's show, you want to have as clean a recording as possible. Mm-hmm. Now, there are emulators that do compressors. I mean, even GarageBand has a compressor built in.
Oh, yeah.
And I could use that if I wanted to. But you know, like that drone, for example, you could in post take that out. But as Pip and I saw this weekend...
Oh, yes.
You can't fix certain things in post. Case in point.
This is a video thing.
This is a video thing, but here's how we get to the audio in just a second and how it applies. So, God love him. There was this director, producer, editor, screenwriter, and music composer.
And visual effects artist.
And visual effects artist. Who made a passion project about a meteor storm that...
Created zombies.
That creates space zombies.
In L.A.
In L.A. And... Depending on where you find this movie, it's either called Disaster LA or Apocalypse LA. There was one particular scene where, God love him, the guy was trying to save money, and he discovered after he shot this film, it looked fine. It looked just fine when he shot it. But when he got it into the computer to edit it, it was too dark. So he used whatever filter and...
contrast and brightness.
Onboard contrast and filter changes and what have you to pump up the light. The problem is that the action was jumping from the interior of the car to the parking lot where they were filming. The footage outside in the parking lot looked fine. In fact, it looked beautiful. Once you got into the car, it almost looked like you were looking at it through static. Because
like
there
a pair
was,
of pantyhose.
Yeah, like a pair, like someone had taken some pantyhose and was stretching and stretching it repeatedly, causing what is basically called noise.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sort of artifacting, that sort of noise...
From the processing.
That happens in post. And that's when you have something that is too dark and you try to lighten it up in post.
And that can happen to audio as well, right?
It can happen in audio as well, because if we try to remove, and we could... We can remove the background drone, but it's going to affect our voices.
Yeah.
Our voices are going to sound very
compressed.
Well,
you have a noise gate. You can clip off people's voices a little too much.
Noise gates do that. There are noise reduction filters that will change the harmonics of your voice ever so slightly, so you almost sound robotic. So you have to be very careful about that, which is why whenever you're shooting video, and this goes for video podcasters as well, when you're shooting video... or you're recording audio, you want it to be as clean as possible. That being said, when you are podcasting on the go,
mm-hmm.
there are sacrifices that are going to happen.
So if you were in a situation where someone was talking and you're like, okay, they won't move, so we've got to move, would you say in the podcast, okay, folks, we had to move to a new location because the different sound quality? You wouldn't?
I would just say, I would just stop the commentary. I'd say stop. I would say to our guest, I would say, if the guys did not tone it down, I would say to my guest, we need to move to a location. It can be outside this room. It can be in a hallway, but we got to go somewhere else. I would then resume. I would ask the same question that I asked right before the guy. And that's the worst bit, because the stuff that our EVP was talking about when the guys came in was some of the best stuff I ever heard. So what you have to do is you have to go back and you have to say, okay, we're going to pick up from here. And that's important to know.
But if the quality of the ambient noise is different, like if we recorded here and then we went and recorded in the church, for example, would you say to the audience, welcome back, guys, we had to switch to the church? Or would you just leave it?
That is up to the podcaster. Personally, I wouldn't. Mm-hmm. Because when you're recording remotely... What matters the most is the content, not necessarily, okay, everybody, we just changed locations, and I know it sounds different, but that's okay.
People just roll with it?
You just roll with it.
Okay.
The only time it really matters, the only time that where podcasting on the go could be problematic is if you're doing drama or audiobook style. I'm keeping an eye on the time,
mm-hmm.
Audiobook style or dramatic readings. You want your
audio consistency.
Consistent. You want your audio clean. You want your audio tight. And you're not going to get that in a remote location. You're going to get that in a studio, mm-hmm. which is what the third podcast will be. That's going to be at Binary Studios in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be there later this month for the PIY workshop. And you can find out more about that if going to podcastingfordummies.com. And then you go over to PIY 2017. All the information is going to be there. But in a nutshell, Chuck Tomasi's home studio is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he got it with the house.
That's
he
a
bought,
nice,
he
nice
bought
the
house. Yeah, well, yeah, he bought the house from Michael Armenigay.
Mm-hmm. That's a very specific kind of house you're looking
at. A very specific kind of house you got there. So, when you're podcasting remotely, it's a different kind of podcast. So if you are doing a travelogue podcast, if you're doing if you want to do a podcast about cafes mm-hmm. and what they have to offer, and because how many cafes do you go to that have bubble tea?
Not enough.
Exactly. You love your bubble tea.
I do like my bubble tea.
And I'm having, like tonight, I'm having a hazelnut brittle, which is hazelnut and caramel coffee.
Ooh.
And it's really smooth. It's really smooth.
So, yeah, I mean, I can totally see a podcast about different cafes.
Especially in New Zealand.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in New Zealand.
Well, see, that's...
Your dad would have to come with us, though.
Well, see, we could definitely take this little Shure gizmo...
Oh, yeah.
...to New Zealand with us and podcast, you know, a travel... Easy.
Right.
I mean, this is so simple.
The microphone literally fits in my hand. The entire recording unit fits in my hand. It plugs in directly and takes power from the iPad. I'm using GarageBand, which is a whopping $5 as a download. And there is a severe learning curve between the iPad version of GarageBand and the desktop version of GarageBand.
But that's, a few minutes of, half
poking
an hour,
here,
an hour,
tapping
poking
here,
around,
yeah.
And getting it set up the way you want to set it up.
Exactly, and figuring out exactly what
you want.
It's
still amazing. I mean, if you could look ahead from where you were 10 years ago and go, okay, so you're going to be able to record on this flat piece of glass.
Yeah. With a really slick-looking microphone from Shure.
That will make you think you're Frank Sinatra.
Yeah, I would have been like, I'm not seeing that. Now, here's the beautiful thing about Shure. The MV line has different... They have different microphones. There's a Shure MV5, which is an even smaller and lighter version of the MV5-1.
Mm-hmm.
The MV5-1 has a few more bells and whistles. Stuff that I think Phil Rossi would dig. But for the most part, I would say that...
Do you know how much this is?
Off the top of my head, if I remember correctly, I believe it's between 100 to 125.
Not bad, if you're
not bad at
all. You're doing a decent amount of off-site recording, it's a nice investment.
And GarageBand works back as far as I would say iPad version 3.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure about the 2. I know it wouldn't run on iPad 1.
Hmm.
But that's because the iPad 1, the original iPads, don't have the Thunderbolts.
Yeah, I just got rid of my iPad 1.
Yeah, he just retired that.
To make jokes about iPad 1.
I'm not going to make jokes about the iPad 1. That was a good...
But I couldn't podcast on it, no.
No, you couldn't.
It barely could do anything.
But the other nice thing is that when you wanted to podcast remotely, you have all different kinds of options. You have digital recorders, like digital recorders from Zoom.
Or your phone.
Or you can actually do it from your phone. Many people do it from your phone.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the very first Podcasting for Dummies podcast was done from Chuck's phone.
Wow.
So he recorded it all on his phone. But the other thing that you get with this is the portability of it.
Mm-hmm.
The heaviest thing of this rig, of the iPad and the MV5-1, is the MV5-1 itself.
Yeah. I remember going through airport security with you, and I made sure to get ahead of you because you were always pulled aside because you would have the stands and the mics and, everything would be in your bag.
But now it's
all
compact.
It's this, which is like, I don't know, 6 inches tall.
Yeah, yeah. It's
maybe not even that.
It's an amazing setup. And so when you're podcasting remotely, these are just some of the things that you want to think about when you're wanting to create a podcast. If you want to have that more and I think that's the appeal of doing podcasts remotely. You have a more intimate sound because you have...
You're there.
You have the atmosphere where people are working. And it's not as sterile as a studio. That doesn't mean that studio recording isn't necessarily a bad thing. It's just different kind of atmosphere. It depends on the kind of podcast you want to do. So, in closing, happy anniversary, my darling. I love you.
I love you too, but I think I might love this MV51.
I wouldn't blame you. I wouldn't blame you.
Might just pack that into my bag and take it away.
I believe it. I believe it. So, thanks everybody for listening. Just remember, folks, that the Podcasting for Dummies companion podcast is protected by a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike, United States 3.0 license. And you can find out more about that license at creativecommons.org. And until next time, hot on.